Well, Greg, welcome to We Are Libertarians. I'm your host, Chris Spangle, with your debate recap. This is Greg Lenz. We are found at WeAreLibertarians.com. We are live on Facebook Live. And what a debate.
Wow. Would you have predicted that?
I thought it would be punchy, but I didn't expect him to be such a raw nerve. Man, and he people love Trump when he's at his Trumpiest, and he was so Trump tonight.
Oh, my God.
He came out fighting and swinging, and he really let everybody have it. Oh, four, three against one, fine. You know, just
those were all winning zingers. Like, the little barbs, he drew blood, and he irritated her.
Yeah.
And the way the questions worked out and the timing of questions, it played right into the only way he could win.
Yeah, it really felt like he... Man, I don't want to say that he won the debate because, you know, we hate to do the win and lose thing, but he definitely had a better night than I expected.
He was on Hangman's Row.
It started abysmally.
He was terrible when he was solemn and apologetic, you know, and trying to show that he knew he made a mistake and that he came out soft and, you know, a mea culpa of sorts, and that just didn't work.
Yeah, he started out, you know, just laying out his agenda and how he's going to make America great again. And I don't know if, like, that was coaching.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm sure there was a lot of coaching for discipline and strict. Like, this is what you have to do. This is what you have to say. And this is how you have to be perceived.
Yeah.
And instead, it's like Hillary gave him one and the moderator gave him one little opening, and he made that comment. And I forget what it was, and I looked at you, and I'm like, that just changed the whole debate.
Yeah.
And it's like a light came on with Trump, and he went on the offensive and started stalking her around the debate stage.
He helped negate the criticism of him by doing the exact thing he was criticized for.
He was supposed to get a public execution for being a chauvinist pig. Instead, he turned it into a damnation of the media class and how Hillary and the press are on the same side.
Yeah.
And she never got back on the offensive. She would not. She was dominating. And then that little, when she replied to that little barb, and then he threw another one at her, and then he had her on the ropes. That was it. That was the total momentum change.
Yeah, and then because he looked like, man, I'm just not gonna take this lying down. Did he even apologize for the remarks at all?
No, he just said it was locker room talk.
Yeah, like it. I don't even think walking out of this media cycle, that will be the focus for the liberal blogs.
If CNN didn't have a single headline about Trump, like, apologizing or Trump being sorry or whatever,
right.
It was Trump says there'll be a special prosecutor, and then the only little thing down on the side was Billy Bush, you know, takes the fall.
Well, and the disagreeing with Pence, I think, is going to be, because
I love it.
That's almost unprecedented. I mean, there's really not any disagreements on a ticket like that. You didn't see Romney and Ryan disagreeing.
No, because no, that's, but you know what? I think people will like that.
The point of being the running mate is to just basically do what the running mate needs.
Mm-hmm. So Sarah Palin kind of struggled with that a little bit. I mean, I feel like her and McCain had a little bit of a... But they were trying to run a weird strategy where one sort of was speaking only to one group and one was only speaking to the other.
Yeah. So the running mate generally is there just to basically do what Pence has done, which is explain the boss's position.
Except, when he started to waver,
mm-hmm.
never waver.
Yeah.
When you're Mike Pence, and the point is it's Mike Pence.
Right.
There is no governor in America who's more hated by their female voting base than Governor Pence.
Yep.
So it looks like the height of opportunistic just fakeness to go and say that you're all of a sudden this champion of women, and that's degrading and humiliating.
Man, I don't know. I think that if, like, knowing Mike Pence from the inside, from the friends that we have, but not personally, I could see he and his wife, that report.
They're appalled by it.
But
I'm talking about
appalled.
The perception of it. When,
right.
When you do that and you don't have the track record,
right,
you don't get to control the narrative. You're going to look opportunistic,
yeah.
And you're like, you're not loyal.
Right.
And if there's one person, I mean, Trump was on the ropes. Like, the whole, this should have been a public execution.
But it really is so interesting to watch these debates. And you hear, liberal bias, liberal bias. But when you really watch these debates, Hillary Clinton is running a campaign that is anti-Trump. The media is anti-Trump. Most of the public opinion is anti-Trump. And, you know, most of his party is anti-Trump, which...
Until, I think now, they're going to be anti-Hillary.
Yeah, there's a...
They won't be pro-Trump ever again.
No, but these debates are all about rehashing the discussions that have been going on in the news for the last few weeks, since the last debate, really. I mean, it really is so boring.
Except the moment he dominated, which was the first 40 minutes. Which, when America was watching, then everyone couldn't believe their eyes and started reading about what other people were saying.
Right. Which is, I think, leads into kind of your point, which is the public doesn't care about policy.
Their eyes glaze over. Our eyes glaze over. We were trying to find headlines to see in consensus. Right.
I was looking for memes and funny little quips on our Twitter. I always retweet on We Are Libertarians. Excuse me, how professional. I don't know how TV broadcasters do it, but like I would be the worst TV broadcaster ever. Like I'd sit there and yawn in the middle of...
Well, they get breaks.
I guess, yeah. We've been sitting here
for a while.
Literally going since 8 o'clock. We will post, if you're on Facebook Live, we'll post our debate commentary shortly after we end this broadcast. But because Hillary is such a policy wonk, she gets into the weeds and people just stop caring.
Oh, she sounds cringy. Or is it just like, it's not cringy, I guess. It's just like, I don't know. She just wanders off and she can't, she is disciplined in every area of her life in campaigning except answering questions like extemporaneously. She struggles in that format. That was the one thing Trump had in his favor tonight. Because everything else was not in his favor.
Yeah.
It would have been tough to walk in that room. Just as an individual, knowing that you've been caught and you're the subject to the most scrutiny that really... I mean, a lot... Just a total media scrutiny and they already don't like you.
The world hates him.
And somehow to come out of there and find a little glimmer...
Like,
it's pretty impressive.
I also think that like the move of bringing, he brought the mistresses to the debate.
Yeah, Bill's reaction was fantastic. If you haven't clicked on Drudge Report, the picture of Bill and Chelsea and Bill wide eyed looking over to the left at the mistresses is just meme gold.
It is really something. This is a headline from the Washington Post. Tonight's dark debate took a dark turn. Trump leveled vicious charges at Clinton and threatened to jail her. She attacked his treatment of women.
But when the crowd cheered, when he said that she should be in, or I forget what the barb was, the crowd erupted and they had to remind him to not to break out. And I thought that just changed it. With the crowd cheering, the momentum is shifted.
But see, let's break down the language of that particular headline by the Washington Post, which I love dearly, which I subscribe to. Tonight's debate took a dark turn. Dark turn, that's editorializing. Trump leveled vicious, that's an editorializing word, charges at Clinton and threatened. He's threatening a woman to jail her, which he did. She attacked his treatment of women. So he got, you know, Trump leveled vicious charges and threatened her, and she attacked his treatment of women. Like, this is what is really starting to just become very naked at this point. And you saw it in Raddatz. You saw it less so in Cooper. But Raddatz is such a part of that Washington establishment elite. You know, Barack Obama, according to one tweeter, came to her wedding. You know, she is carrying water for American foreign policy and the Council on Foreign Relations.
She's the press secretary for the global elite.
Exactly right. And as soon as, you know, that's why she never pressed Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as he would say something that went against the popular opinion of Washington establishmentarianism, then she pushed him and interrupted him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and, you know, there was the time he was able to stem the tide by essentially making it an us versus them mentality.
Right.
And the us, somehow he's the blue collar billionaire. He's the populist billionaire. And it worked, because if it hadn't been for that, it would have been the public hanging.
Right.
I was so impressed, because it is. I told Ryan Conn, I go, if there's one person who can, and we said earlier, if there's one person that can figure out a way out of this shitstorm, this is the guy, and it's 1 in 20 million, and he did.
But it's by, and what is so amazing about him is that he does it by just and let this be a lesson. This is something I've learned from Trump this cycle. Instead of apologizing, he goes up and over it and takes it to a different level, maybe not in like a nastier level, but just by forcing his way through it.
You can never win anything. An argument, you'll just never win any debate, any argument, how you're perceived by apologizing or explaining.
Right.
And so regardless if it's the right thing to do or not, that's just a lesson in life. Like sitting there trying to rationalize and make your case, it won't work because you're never going to change anyone's mind.
Right.
The only person you're rationalizing to is yourself. And so you just go ahead and own it. And if you feel bad about it, you know, take it a different direction, but absolutely never, ever, ever, ever apologize when you're, you know, it's really not something where an apology is necessary other than, you know, hate mobs.
Yeah.
Horny for a boycott.
He didn't really bring up the Clinton did worse stuff. Like, it really was kind
of the beginning when he sucked.
Yes, but it almost seemed like it was a pre-debate psych out.
Yeah.
Like it was a mental game and
theatrics.
To get her to prepare for 30 minutes of attacking Bill, and then he mentioned it once.
And then that's in their mind the whole time they're preparing for
right.
it, and then all her answers come across as long-winded and not succinct right. and, you know, easily understood.
Yeah. Really, really interesting.
Getting to follow up though the whole thing about being the media being 3-on-1. It's 3-on-1 saying that, and
yeah.
then them cheering. Getting to follow that up with a question from everyone about Obamacare is the best luck you could ever have.
And he got to start it?
She did.
Oh,
remember, she said, "I'm a gentleman."
Oh, that's right.
And I thought, this literally couldn't have lined up better. And so it was the little funny laugh you needed, like
yep.
you know, a little bit
that
of comedic relief.
Tension breaker.
And she struggled through the answer. And then he said, "I've been saying how horrible it is." Her own husband's saying how horrible it is.
Yeah.
You know, and the stars aligned because he couldn't have done it single-handedly, so things had to fall right, but it worked out.
A lot of what I saw in this debate was, excuse me, I'm so sorry. It's obviously near 11
yeah.
o'clock, and I'm normally asleep by now, but I'll tell you what, I'm giving it all. I'm being very generous and thorough for our listeners.
It's all about you.
It is. So what is really interesting is, what were we talking about?
Oh, about how things worked out, how they lined up, and then, you know, Bill, the women, all, you know, having the press conference beforehand was purely a psychological tactic,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, a lot of what I saw from the Twitter sphere is, you know, writers for The Atlantic and HuffPo and Ezra, what's-his-face from Vox, like, they all thought Hillary ran away with it, you know, the people from you know, Eric Erickson and people from the right, they all thought that Trump won. I mean, we're really in that point where everybody just kind of returns to their default position.
Well, I think the big thing is the women voter thing is still an issue, but
yeah.
the news scandal, that's not going to be the news cycle.
Right.
You know, so that is still a problem, but the big issue was going to be if Republicans just didn't want to be associated and didn't show up.
Right.
And I don't think they're ever, like, this doesn't change them to being Donald Trump supporters or okay with Trump.
Yeah.
It changes it, though, to where they're going to show up to vote against Hillary.
Sure.
Because he landed barbs.
Man, not just that, but her answer on SCOTUS.
Oh, my God.
If I am the NRA or any right group or the RNC, then I'm just taking that answer and putting it in a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Because it literally is, the Supreme Court is the only issue that is getting people on the right to support Trump.
She just put Virginia and Pennsylvania back in North Carolina from, like, him probably being down 5 points in the probably most recent polling to staying where it was before.
Why do you say that?
Because the rural areas are all gun heavy. Like, Virginia is D.C., but then the mm-hmm. rest of it is like Blacksburg conservative.
Because she basically,
then the coal.
Right.
I mean, Pennsylvania, the coal that kills her there.
Right.
That kills her in, like, the northeastern part of Virginia near Pennsylvania, the border. And then North Carolina, it's really the Raleigh-Durham Research Triangle. And then the rest of it is Republican country.
Yeah.
And so she just handed him a win by, that's going to be what's remembered in, like, the messaging. The PACs that are trying to help him win are going to just have a heyday.
Right. So the problem, I think, for Trump moving forward is if he lives another day based on this, and I think based on what I see from the right, what I hear from you, that
and this is just my opinion, because I'm sure a lot of people won't agree.
maybe not libertarians, but I think that people on the right, for instance, who he had to secure his base tonight, and they all tuned in to see what he was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw Hillary Clinton of, they saw the Hillary Clinton that people hate. The smug, condescending, know-it-all liberal who loves progressive values, wants to raise taxes, wants to kill babies, wants to appoint proactive judges.
You know, more of the same.
More of the same. You know, I don't know if they've pulled this, she's done it for 30 years and she's an effective thing, but he uses that a lot.
Yeah, I think that's, I do think it's a change election.
Right. One final thing that I think we ought to discuss is the whole narrative of, so the informed people take an opinion. And the uninformed people who just tune in, you know, the politicos who go to church on Easter and Christmas, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
they show up every 4 years for the presidential debate.
Are you hearing the cat?
Yeah, she's attacking my right leg.
Oh, Mittens is attacking you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, kick her.
Well, I don't want to grab it.
Here.
I'm not going to perpetrate. Oh, she's tearing at it now.
Hey.
She's for Hillary.
I know. Don't get mad at me because Trump did well.
Yeah. So, no, I've maintained that my cat is a liberal, and she's a progressive because she clearly dislikes Harry. So she's Uh-oh. An early 20th century progressive like Woodrow Wilson and Hillary. Now, so these Sunshine Patriots who show up for the election, they just decry the choices that we have.
Oh, yeah.
They are just so above the fray.
Oh, yeah, they're holier than thou.
And they just hate the fighting that goes on and the infighting. And can't we be a better people?
Yeah, can't we all just rise above? I'm that noble moderate.
Right.
I'm that independent that needs to be courted and wooed, and I'm so much better than the choices that I have available.
I'm not even saying those people necessarily. I'm talking about the uninformed amongst us who don't even follow. Like,
oh, yeah, they just can't wait to...
Right.
You know, make sure everyone knows that they find politics dirty.
Right. And it's just like all these independent voters that were in the thing today. Who the hell is independent? Like, who the hell is undecided on this election?
They're not. They just want to be wooed.
Right. It's like, it's an ego thing. Like, I just find the whole notion of being, you know, above it all.
Oh, I hate it. It's like been the thing that's driven me crazy my whole life because everyone has an inclination of how they're going to vote. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, but you feel that you need to be courted or, you know, you want to save face with the people in your social network. So you decide, oh, well, I'm just going to not have a side and see how, you know, wait until election day to see who's the most civil.
Sure. And it's this high-minded.
Meanwhile, Thomas Jefferson bought a newspaper or John Adams bought a newspaper so he could slander Jefferson as a transgender person.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? Like, right. It's never been clean.
It's never been. Every political cycle is full of these kind of stories. And like the high-minded faux intellectualism of we should just be better people. If we could just get all of the writers from The New Yorker to run for office.
It's like it's a John Lennon song.
Right. That doesn't exist. This is human nature. This is, here's why it's great. We have elevated actual killing. In terms of, so people even as soon, even 150, 200 years ago in this country, politicians were killing each other.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron Burr.
We had a vice president shoot the Secretary of the Treasury.
Right.
It's awesome.
Right. And killed him. And that's just, that was the law. You know, Andrew Jackson, I mean, we still have politicians that might kill people. But we as a species have evolved from, yes, I know there's a lot of war. I know that there's a lot of killing and that the United States of America does a lot of that killing and with drones. But when you look through history and you look at how societies interact, we are actually at the best point in all of history in terms of less people dying.
Crime's on the way down.
Right.
There's less atrocity in the world because people know about it and are aware of it.
Right.
You know, it's sensationalism to exploit people.
And when you have two sides in a debate like this who are passionately against each other arguing, and yet they shake hands at the end, that is a success because that is overcoming human nature, and we are exercising those primordial urges to beat the shit out of people who offend us.
Yeah.
And we're were checking those. And so, like, the, oh, we should just be able... None of you who say we should just be above all this, we just should not have a society like this, none of you would tune in if it was all Hillary Clinton and, you know, Newt Gingrich.
It's not a youth group retreat.
No, it's none of the policy that you people want to discuss, none of you care.
No.
I look at the ratings when Rob.
Let's be reasonable.
When Rob Kendall's on, it gets better, you know, than when we have a philosophical discussion.
Yeah.
When it's politics and we're arguing over Trump, we get better ratings than when we're talking about the philosophy of libertarianism.
Right. People want to be entertained.
Sure.
And they always will, and they always have.
So we don't like program it that way. That's just what we're talking about now. But we try to find interesting ways to talk about policy,
right?
Because that's what people love. They love tabloids. So. You know, it's funny because people love to preach against other people's choices and not their own.
Right. And a lot of them love to preach against all the choices and just appear holier than thou.
Right.
I don't really, you know, I try to avoid politics. Right. Not really my thing.
Right.
Okay. How brave.
Right.
You so want a brave. Cookie?
So brave.
Yeah.
It really just comes down
Tell me more about your life as a youth minister.
Right. You just don't either have the intellectual firepower or you don't think that you have the intellectual firepower to sit down and read a magazine.
Cover your ignorance.
Or read a book or listen to a podcast or take... I mean, how many hours a week would you say that you are consuming political information?
Well, I try to every night, you know, read 2 to 3 hours or something. Or, you know, I'll be reading or watching or learning about something where it's politically, it's policy involved, it's politics involved. Or, planning an article for We Are Libertarians or prepping. And it's because it's fun and it's interesting. It does matter. It isn't okay. You aren't better than someone else because you don't want to get in the mud.
Right.
Get in the mud and fight, but be prepared. You're afraid to battle. You'd rather be the critic on the outside.
Yeah. And like, arguing, like, it's just the I hate anti-intellectualism.
Oh, yeah.
I hate it. That's what I hate about Trump. But... I recognize that Trump is what people love. Trump is what people want, and they love to hate him. That's why he's the nominee.
And if you're watching someone and you hate them and you can't take your eyes off them, then you're a fan.
Right.
That makes you a fan.
Yeah.
It's hard to admit for a lot of people, but then you are a fan.
It's why Howard Stern got such great ratings. It's why Shock Jock Radio took off in the 90s.
It's why Rush worked.
Right.
Rush elicits a response, whether it's hatred or love. And regardless of that, it's you can't not watch.
Our lives are so boring that you want passion evoked in some way.
You do, but then there's also so much truth in the, they take everything to the extreme.
Yeah.
But it's always got a kernel of truth in it. There's some insight that's, you know, hits you on a level like, that's funny. Because it's true. It's like Crooked Hillary.
Yeah.
It's so naive and so sophomoric and ridiculous. But at the same time, yeah, she's a crook.
Yeah. And it's okay to call her a crook.
And it feels right.
Right.
Just feels right.
When he looked at her and he pointed at her and he called her a liar, he was doing what every single American citizen has wanted to do for 30 years.
It was catharsis for millions of Americans.
It so was.
And that's what he gives you, is he gives you the catharsis, and he refuses to play the game on her terms.
Right.
Which is what Republicans have needed to do forever.
Right.
They keep trying to, well, let's just have a civil discussion and let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah.
Without realizing the Democrats are going to slaughter them every time.
Right.
Trump refuses to play that game and uses only theatrics and, you know, cheap parlor tricks in order, you know, name calling in order to try to win an election. And it feels so dirty.
Because that's what it takes.
Yep.
That's what works now.
Yeah. But to the media class and, you know, the people that don't care actually about American citizens because they are sure they know best and everybody's just a cog in the system that they're planning an outcome for, they hate it because this is the ugly side of democracy for the elites, even though you're a Democrat.
What I think really worries them is that, you know, like, you and I fit in with that crowd where we study this stuff and we're, you know, we're always trying to think about, because every time we crack these mics, we've got to have something new and unique to say.
Right.
You know, we don't want to just repeat what Reason says or what Adam Kokesh says or what...
And I try to read non-libertarian sources only.
Right.
I try to avoid any libertarian sources.
I only read libertarian sources. I like to live in the echo chamber. I only read LouRockwell.com.
Well, I mean, I just feel like I know what they're going to say already because that's my position.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You could write the articles for Reason because you take libertarianism and you apply it to the issue.
Right.
And then that's your opinion.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, that's, and you could write right now for Reason and you would write the same articles as Gillespie or Welch or any of them, but it's more interesting to me to say, I know what I believe on this. Now let me go and try to defend it against the two opposing sides.
Sure. And that's the key. But most people never even want to get to a point where they form an opinion. It's almost right. like feeling their emotions. People don't want to do that. They'd rather just drink.
they ignore, and then they cover up their ignorance, though, by pretending to be holier than thou.
And then they complain when these are the choices that they get.
Right. Like, they love to say, well, I just think we should be reasonable, and there should be rational approach and compromise and bipartisanship, and can't we all just get along? And then you're like, well, you know, we are a constitutional republic. There are certain right. principles that require... the amendment process, a two-thirds majority in the Senate. Do you realize that there are certain principles we're bound by? So it's not always the case. You can just rationalize your way around the right to not self-incriminate, the Fifth Amendment, or right. the right to freedom of the press. Well, maybe we should silence some opinions because there is hate speech. Like, no, right. you're a coward and you don't even know what these principles mean or why they're important.
Right.
Or gun control.
All right. So final thoughts on the debate.
As impressive. I was impressed because I really did think it was going to be a public execution. And he won. She lost horribly.
She
thought it was over. She was going to literally do a victory lap and let him hang himself. She gave him one opening, and in one opening with one comment, the crowd cheered and he won.
Yeah.
It was amazing to watch.
It's just amazing.
My eyes lit up and I couldn't stop. I couldn't believe it.
Did you tear up?
I did. I think I said it to you and I was like, I did. Or I was like, he did it. That's what the one opening he needed, and he found it.
It was kind of like, you know.
It was meme magic.
It was IU basketball won another championship.
That's what it felt like to me.
It's like 2006 when the Colts won.
It's so hard. Like those. We're nerds, so this is our sport, right?
Oh, yeah.
So when you see something that's so David versus Goliath, and the assumption is already, it's factored in, the election's over, tonight is the chance for everyone to sit there and enjoy his fall.
Yeah.
Everyone was ready to watch him die tonight.
Yep, including me.
And he didn't give anyone that satisfaction, and in fact won, and now Republicans that abandon ship so quickly are going to look like cowards.
That is really interesting to see if the RNC will start back. You know, they've been making plans to pull resources.
You just simply can't bet against the guy because him being here is one in a million.
Right.
Him beating Jeb Bush and Chris Christie and John Kasich and all that, those people, it is impossible to imagine that Donald Trump of The Apprentice and of The Art of the Deal won the Republican primary. And so you have to, at a certain point, say, you know, you don't want to become that meme. Trump, this is the final nail in the coffin for Trump, man nervously says for the 11th time this year.
The guy said pussy.
There is audio that we played of grabbing pussy about a woman and that he's going to kiss, force himself onto her, and yet he's still here.
It is really something.
It takes an odd ability to seize the moment and recognize opportunities in real time. That's his real talent, is knowing he can read a room. So he's able to gauge reaction. It's like how he does his big events, you know, how right. he does his rallies. He gauges the room, and rather than having like an agenda, he just goes and then panders and stokes the flames.
Have you been watching South Park at all?
And I've never watched South Park.
In your life?
Well, I've seen episodes, but I'm not someone that's ever really, I can't remember a single episode.
Did you have a childhood? Like, that was our whole teenage year. Like, it came out and it's 20 years old.
I just never, it wasn't my thing.
Oh, my God. Well, they are some of the best satirists on the planet, and they're libertarian satirists at that. You got to listen to this clip when basically Mr. Garrison is the Trump character. He somehow ended up getting the nomination, and his running mate is Caitlyn Jenner. Which is hilarious.
Oh, my.
And so this is a recap of the debate that they've put together. That starts with Hillary's advisors are talking to her. It's not going to work. I'll have to maybe splice it in later. If you haven't seen it, I probably won't splice it in because I want to get this out, but it's called My Opponent is a Liar on YouTube. It is so spot on, and basically Garrison goes out and says, listen, I'm so unqualified for this. You shouldn't vote for me. And she just sticks to the script. And he's like, F me, I can't believe I'm going to be president because of her. It's so funny.
That's perfect it commentary.
Is. It is. So, all right. Thanks so much for joining us. Greg, final thoughts?
No. If you did watch tonight and you saw the segment that was really the first 40 minutes, you'll never see that again probably in your lifetime.
Never.
You won't.
It was unreal.
Appreciate it for what it is. You can hate the man for everything that he represents and all the awfulness he is.
Right.
That was true artistry of being able to recognize an opportunity in real time and seize the moment when virtually everyone else would have been too afraid to do it.
Yep.
They would have let public influence or public opinion.
I need to be liked, and he doesn't give a crap about being liked.
Mm-hmm.
Just that, pure confidence.
Learn the lesson. Lean into it.
Yep. All right. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you at IU tomorrow night. We'll be back on Tuesday night. And thank you for joining us. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.